with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Singing is as old as our cave-dweller ancestors, and it is within all of us. When you sing, your physical and emotional state is altered by the vibration moving through your body. In her interesting article on the neuroscience of singing, Cassandra Shepherd explains how singing fires up the right temporal lobe of our brain, releasing endorphins that make us smarter, healthier, happier, and more creative. When we sing with other people, this effect is amplified. Recent research shows that singing in groups triggers the release of serotonin and oxytocin, the bonding hormone. Singing helps people with depression and reduces feelings of loneliness, leaving people feeling relaxed, happy, and connected. One of the great things about singing is that you can receive the well-being benefits even if you aren't any good. We can all sing, even if we don't think we can. A great advocate for the role singing plays in our sense of well-being is Mrs. Linda Hurley, wife of the Governor of New South Wales. Her goal is to turn Australia into a singing nation, and she started with guests at Government House. In order to do this, she has created a Government House songbook filled with old favourites like You Are My Sunshine. In his role as patron of Radio 2RPH, the Governor visited the Glebe Studios with Mrs. Hurley. We were delighted to have her as a special guest on AbleQuest. Barbara Sullivan started by asking her about her background before taking up residence at Government House.
I think being a teacher has helped me in this role as the Governor's wife. I've been a volunteer myself with different organisations, and I was a pastoral care worker. After I finished teaching, I studied to be a pastoral care worker. And I think that that has really helped me to be a good listener and to interact with people. So I'm very grateful that I actually had that background to come into the role of being a governor's wife.
Well, we know you interact with people very well because in the morning tea this morning, greeting you, you certainly got us all going with your song and chatting to everybody. Now, onto your role as the governor's wife, what's expected of you?
Well, it's interesting. When David was asked to be the governor, we obviously talked about it and decided that we would do it as a pair, which is what most governors and their wives have done. So we'd seen governors out and about doing what they do. But when you go into the role, there's no training, there's no guidance. It's really up to you
To shape it.
Mm. Yeah. So you come with a blank sheet of paper, is what David always says. He had a strategic plan of how, you know, what he wanted to do. And I sort of went along with that plan. And we do most things together. Occasionally we'll separate and go our separate ways to different organisations. But I think as the wife or the partner of a governor, you also have to have ownership of something yourself. People love meeting the governor, and of course he's the governor. But I think as a partner, you're kind of on the side, but you still can put your own passions into the role. One of my passions is singing. I had to take that slowly because you're never sure, you know, right, how it's going to be received. But I think it's quite acceptable now that people expect when they come to Government House that there might be some singing.
Singing's your passion, and I'm sure there are a number of causes that you have supported before you came into the role. Did you find you have enough time to pursue those?
Well, no. It's a very, very busy job. That's partly our fault, because when we go to the planning meetings and look at all the invitations and the things that are happening in New South Wales, it's very hard to say no. There are so many worthy organisations out there,
yes,
and so many wonderful people who are supporting the state, and so many of them are volunteers, and I'm a volunteer. So it's very, very special to be able to help them. We will go and visit an amazing organisation and they'll say, thank you so much for coming. Just thank you so much. And we kind of think, well, thank you for having us here. It's just so good to meet people and hear their stories. And I believe everyone has a story, and some people want to share their story with you. And we also see what they're doing and the amazing work and the dedication that people have in this state to help others.
Well, we certainly enjoy having you here on radio today. So let's get back to singing. You're obviously a great believer in the power of singing in people's well-being and health, overall health. Talk to us a little bit about how your passion developed and your philosophy of song.
I've loved singing since I was a little girl. I used to sit on the swing in the back garden and sing my little heart out. When we came to Government House, I met a lot of people who tell me they can't sing. When we have a reception, we have a lot of receptions. After all the speeches, I'll go up to the microphone and say, now we're going to sing our thank you song. Initially, people are quite nervous and, this is, out of my comfort zone. But after we've sung it two or three times, they're more relaxed. Unless they're just being polite, but I think that they do really enjoy it. And they'll come and say, oh, we never expected that, or that's a surprise, or, oh, that really made us feel more relaxed.
And it bonds a group, doesn't it?
So I guess my mission is to create a singing state where people sing for the intrinsic joy of singing together, not for performance, and it doesn't have to be perfect. I hope that I've encouraged some people to do that.
Tell me, have you had experience of song and dementia?
I've asked my children if I develop dementia that I go to a place where there's lots of singing. My mother lived in a nursing home for about 9 months, the last 9 months of her life. And my mother loved singing. She used to sing all the time. When she went there, well, the last couple of years, when she was developing dementia, she stopped singing. Well, she also stopped talking. I used to visit her very regularly and we'd go to the music session and I could not get my mother to sit and listen. But on one occasion, we were there, and there was a lady who lived in the nursing home she wasn't an elderly lady, but she'd had some really tough things happen in her life, and she developed, I guess, what you'd call dementia. And she didn't speak. She would shuffle around the nursing home, mumbling. And one night I was there, and I heard this beautiful person singing a ballad. I looked at her, and I thought, that looked just like this lady. And she was singing the most amazing ballad. And you would never, ever have known that she had any kind of dementia at all. And she finished singing the ballad and returned to her other state, I guess. These were songs that she remembered from her past. So that was extraordinary. We visit a lot of nursing homes and aged care facilities. And I love it when we have like a singing session to see the residents there just having such a good time. And the old time songs that they all know. And when I was teaching, we had a program where we would teach the children the old time songs. Those songs that are really singable. A lot of modern songs aren't they're written for a single voice.
Yes.
We would take the children to the nursing homes and the children would sing with the residents, not in a group. They would go up and they'd say, hello, my name's Linda. And the resident would say, my name's Beryl. And then the child would actually sing with that person, sing to that person, facing them. Which is a hard thing. The children learn it and take it on very quickly, but that can sometimes be threatening for adults. But the children would interact with the residents, and the children were benefiting, and so were the residents. And they just loved it. Sometimes the residents would stand up and they'd have a little dance with the children. So I've seen music make a big difference with elderly people.
And how do you incorporate song now into the activities at Government House?
We went to Government House in October. So it was very close to Christmas, and we have a Christmas reception. And I said, well, it's Christmas, we have got to sing carols. And that hadn't happened, I believe. So the first time we did it, it was a bit of a surprise, but it worked. Ever since then, on our invitation, we warn people that singing carols, it's kind of an expectation now. No. So we have our carol books, and everyone gets a book, and we sing. So that's how we first started. And then at Government House, we normally do it a cappella. We're very fortunate that we have musicians from all the different services who come and support us. So at a dinner party, after the main course, it might be a wind trio or a quartet. They'll come in a performance where everyone's attention is on the musicians. I feel musicians deserve to have everyone's attention. We have a lot of musicians who play as background music during receptions and things, which I love. But this is their moment. We all stop and we watch and we listen. It still blows me away that can happen at a dinner party in our Government House, which at the moment is where we live.
It's home.
Then after that, we bring the songbook out and we sing maybe three or four. It depends on the guests. Sometimes they'll be really enthusiastic. Oh, can we sing this one? Can we sing this one? That's what we do. And then when we have receptions now, and this went slowly, slowly.
Yes.
After the speeches, I go up and it's become our thank you song. So we sing just the choruses of You Are My Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll say, now look at each other and sing it to someone else in the room. And I usually encourage them to get better each time. But we usually do it, the chorus, three times.
So you're getting to the basis here of your philosophy of song, that it creates a bond and community and makes people relax and feel lighter.
And all those things. And that particular song has so much relevance to so many people.
Mm.
There are so many stories that people have shared about the significance of that particular song in their life.
Amen.
And people have said, are you ever going to sing another song? And I said, well, probably not, because I can't think of one that, one, everyone knows, or if they don't know it, they learn it really quickly. And just the message in the song, because the people that we have come to Government House, they are bringing sunshine into the lives of other people in New South Wales or Australia or around the world.
That's wonderful. So when you finish at Government House, how would you like your contribution to be remembered?
Well, I guess that'll be up to the people of New South Wales to decide.
But how would you like
well,
it?
Well, I would be happy to be remembered as a person who tried to encourage the joy of singing. I'm very interested in many other aspects of the role as well. And I'll have very, very happy memories of the time I've spent with so many amazing, particularly women's organisations, because they're the ones I mainly go to without David. And I'm very fond of so many organisations that women have worked so hard and make such a contribution to the state.
Well, one thing you'll be remembered for at 2RPH is the wonderful song you wrote for the volunteers of 2RPH. We're certainly going to play that, and we're overwhelmed that you have taken the effort to write a song and to compose the music.
Lend us your ears and we'll read you the world. We're here every day for the news to be heard. Listen to stories that the volunteers share. There's mystery and romance with love in the air. This radio service is heard every day. It started to help and has had a long stay. The call sign is 2RPH on your dial. This radio for communities has so much great style. Tune in and listen, follow printed word at home. With news and great music, you won't feel alone. The presenters work hard to hone their skills. They love sharing moments, it gives them a thrill. There is laughter and fun, you can listen and learn. There is great information for all to discern. We thank all the team who keep people in touch. The 2RPH service, we love you so much.
We now have it recorded, which is wonderful, and we will continue to play it at 2RPH to motivate and inspire us.
Well, thank you for all the wonderful work you do.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.